This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons. It is a great day in Boston if you're a Red Sox fan. Alex Bregman is a member of the Local 9. He's going to likely play second base. He's going to hopefully hit 20-plus home runs and 20-plus doubles and put up great numbers at Fenway Park and earn that $40 million a year that he's making. And to talk about it now, joining Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI Afternoons, we got Ted Johnson.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
The Houston to Boston train continues.
How about this? I'm kind of where Fitzy is today in my level of enthusiasm.
Okay.
I'm very optimistic. You know, I think part of it is Fitzy and Andy. And you guys is just that I'm tired of bashing the Red Sox. Like they finally when I started the show with you guys a few weeks ago, I was hot on Alex Bregman. I covered him when I was in Houston for a long time. We're gonna have my buddy Sean Pendergast, who's excellent at his job. He's a morning guy there at Sports Radio 610 in Houston. We were doing afternoon shows for a long time when the Astros won it in 2017. And so Alex came in came into the bigs in 2016, and he started 0-30. He couldn't get a hit for his first 30 hits.
He went 30 at-bats without a hit
to start his career.
Hard to get happy after that.
And then it all turned around, right? And so and Alex has had a great career. So I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of his, just his swagger, his confidence. He's an excellent third baseman. Like, just the ball.
How about second baseman?
You know, we're going to find out.
The defense should travel. I mean, they say defense travels in the NFL, boys, right? So can it travel all the way across the diamond?
Yeah. But second's easier.
Right. Well, second it is easier.
And you knock the ball down and you still have time to throw it.
The hot corner's not so easy. But, Ted, from your time there, post-game interviews, just, fans, people in the know, and everyone else you get to talk to at meet and greets and such, what's the color of the personality? I keep hearing, great locker room vibes, tremendous leader, way better dude than you'd expect or think.
Oh, he's a pretty chill, low-key guy, but he has a strong presence, and he's just well-liked, well-respected. I wouldn't say there's anything in his personality that you can really pick at or anything. He's a pretty stable, normal, guy.
So this team has lacked a leader, a spokesman for a little while now. I think Xander Bogaerts was the last guy that really held that title. Then you had the post-Pedroia era and sort of that world. Mm-hmm. Devers, by all accounts, including the managers, doesn't want to be the spokesman, the face of the team, the leader, even though he's got the $300 million contract that you would think would bring that
That's
title.
That's part of the job, you would think.
Do you think Alex Bregman will be the leader of this clubhouse in 2025?
I think it's very possible, yes. I think it feels as if he would be the obvious guy.
Yeah.
Position player, everyday player, great hitter, accomplished.
Yep.
A champion, World Series champ. So I think Yes, I do. A lot of it will just depend on how does he, you know, ingratiate himself with the fan base? Do they accept him? Does Alex, is there a vibe between him and the fans? And I think the sooner he can feel ownership and get excited about being a Red Sox, and it sounds like he's going to be. I think this is where he really wanted to go. What, you had Detroit, Toronto, were two other places possibly he could go. But ultimately, he really wanted to come here. And I love that there is a connection with Alex Cora. And I think that's a good thing. And my guess is Alex is going to bring him into his office and say, Alex, I want you to be the leader. I want you to take a leadership role.
Yeah.
You're part of that. Part of that being overpaid. You know what it was. You know, he was looking at his. He wanted a 6-7 year deal worth $27 million, and he's getting a 3-year deal worth $40 million. So he's getting a lot of money in these first few years. And I think you listen to Harold Reynolds. I think he's right. I don't think he'll opt out because of the money is so good. But part of that overpayment, at least for these first couple of years, is. And kind of bring some leadership. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I think I'm hoping that he'll bring. You need a guy, an older guy, with all these influx of young players coming in to kind of show them the ropes. You need a Crash Davis for your Nuke LaLoosh.
Also need him to hit. Because if he goes 0 for his first 30, now he's not a young player anymore.
Right. But that was 2016, a long time ago.
If you're making $40 million a year, that doesn't mean you immediately become the leader if you're not producing. It's hard to lead, especially in a new environment, if you're struggling, if you're scuffling a little bit. So I think he needs to, I mean, everybody always wants to get off to a hot start and all that. But if he's going to be the guy, the clubhouse guy, the face, the spokesman, the leader of the Red Sox, I think that's even more pressure to get off to a good start.
Let's let it happen organically, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I felt like...
Well, there's no other options. That's the other thing. There's sort of a void there.
I mean, who would be the...
Jaron Duran?
Well, I was thinking Trevor Story, but he gets hurt all the time. And
screw Trevor Story.
A second.
He's an accomplished player before he came in and got hurt. Makes a lot of money. Plays shortstop.
Can't lead the club from the tub.
I hear you.
As your boy Willie McGinnis would kind of say.
But Jaron Duran, I would say he's still a little bit too young. But although, you know what? Hey, the way he plays his style, you know, he improved his play in the outfield. He's a better hitter. He's an exciting player. I think going into his fourth year of in the big leagues or fifth year. It's probably Jaron Duran's time, too.
And he had the best year. I mean, he was, finished eighth in the MVP voting.
He had one of the great offensive seasons we've seen in baseball in the last 25 years. It's just that, unfortunately, the rest of the team wasn't able to be as dynamic or consistent. And if there is anyone who I would say this is their team, it's definitely Jaron Duran, Ted. I agree with that 100%. But what Alex Bregman may do is, like you were saying, like, look, I paid you three quarters for your baseball, including cleaning up the defense in the infield, and 25% you get overpaid. Yeah, to go out there, talk to the media, teach these guys how to do it the right way. I think everyone, like we were talking first hour, Andy, that will benefit defensively and offensively from Alex Bregman being there will also benefit emotionally, logistically, in terms of just like how to do it the right way, how to be a professional, how to be a top-tier guy going about his business, because like that's what Bregman did for a decade down in Houston.
And don't you think, Fitzy, too, it's the profile of the team. You have a lot of potential, you know, the hope is superstars that are going to be coming up from the farm, coming out from out of that cornfield and onto your field, and they're going to...
Ted, we built it. They better come.
That's right. And so you need some older veterans to show them the ropes. Maybe that was part of the problem with Tristan Casas. He just, you know, he doesn't have anybody to take him by the neck and say, hey, kid, this is how you do it. These are, learn your cliches.
Yep.
These are your shower shoes. You know, dress properly. You know, don't be taking your shirt off when you're out there warming up, that kind of stuff. Those things make a difference when you have older, accomplished veterans that the young guys look up to.
And I think it takes pressure off of guys that don't want to be leaders, because you know how clubhouses work. Like, media falls in line. They realize, oh, I talked to him post-game and I talked to him post-game because he doesn't really want to talk. He doesn't really want to say anything. And if Bregman and Duran step up and they're available for 10 minutes after every game, everybody else can just go about their business. Oh, I'm going to eat. I'm Devers. I'm going to shower. I'm going to go home. You know, maybe when I hit 3 home runs, I'll talk that day and just, you know, have a funny quote about something. Mm-hmm. But I think it takes a lot of pressure off others if guys fall into those roles.
And didn't we also learn yesterday, or at least get the vibes that somebody like Crochet, he wasn't staring at his shoes. He wasn't sweating when he was doing his media avail yesterday. He actually looked pretty comfortable. Like, I think he's going to love talking after a win, and I think he's going to own it if he gets lit up one night as well. So now you've got even more faces, more sound bites, Andy, more people that want to be the face of this team as opposed to these last couple years where there was a lot of reluctant, quote, leadership.
Alex Cora was already talking about the fact that the new guys were fitting in so quickly. Now, obviously, Bregman wasn't part of that group, but we also know Cora loves Bregman, and
yeah,
I don't think he'll have any qualms about how quickly he'll fit in as well when he gets his physical done and he's in camp and starting that process. So 617-779-7937. Let's mix in the callers. Let's go to David in Florida. He's been holding on for a while here. What are your thoughts on Alex Bregman joining the Red Sox, David?
How are we doing, gentlemen? First of all, Bregman has to play third base. It's just that simple. And the reason why I say that is what happened to Grisham? I mean, he's supposed to be a very good player, too. They got him last year for sale.
Yep.
So give him second base. You put Devers in, like everything you've been saying, and everything Keith and Adam have been saying in the previous show, it just makes too much sense.
So where does Yoshida go? David, where does Yoshida go?
You get rid of him.
Oh,
you get rid of him.
Okay. We're just eating that $20 million?
Get rid of him.
Yeah, Who was that other pitcher they got from Pittsburgh last year at the trading deadline that they sent to the minors? I can't remember his name.
They got Richard Fitz from the Yankees, I believe. I'm not sure which pitcher you're speaking reference to.
There was a pitcher they got last year. I thought it was from Pittsburgh.
Quinn Priester.
Yes, exactly it.
Nailed it.
I was going to pull that one out. You win the bonus round.
Thank you.
Thanks
for the call, David. I agree with the idea that in an ideal world, Rafi Devers is your DH, and Alex Bregman's at third base, and either Christian Campbell or Vaughn Grissom or somebody's at second base in an ideal world. But right now you have Yoshida, and you pay him a lot of money, and he can perform, and Devers can play third. I don't think it's ideal. I think he'd be healthier and probably a better hitter if you got him off of third. But for the here and now, until you convince somebody to take Yoshida for 12 cents on the dollar or some, or reach the point where you just say the guy can't play in the field, he's not that good at DH, he's kind of blocking our desired lineup, and you just DFA him, cut ties with him, eat the money and run, I think for right now, you have Bregman at second base.
And I'm willing to kind of go down this line of thinking that, you know, I think the presence of Trevor Story, stability at the shortstop, stability at Alex at second base, Costas at first, like, that Devers will raise his play up. Like, you know what?
He can play. But
when it comes to his playing,
as long as he doesn't
defense,
get hurt. I know.
I'm just saying, the defense, I think, will be
mediocre.
Better.
It'll be mediocre.
Because of the guys he's playing with. I think, you know, the double play, it'll be more.
He's still going to sail throws. He has throws where he just sails them, and it's like, oh, well.
I'll throw one more thing out there. Alex Cora, I've been hearing him say this week that the Red Sox have obviously gotten better pitching on their roster this year, correct?
Absolutely.
So better pitching leads to better defense.
Well, they're big on they have more guys that can throw hard and create swings and misses, which inherently, if a guy strikes out, that means the third baseman can't possibly make an error, right? So if you have more strikeouts, more swings and misses, you have the opportunity to be better defensively. If you solidify second base, you have the opportunity to be better defensively. Remember early last year when Hamilton was playing short and he was terrible at shortstop?
He was super not good at the position.
Right.
But what other options did they have?
Right.
Bring your kids to the field and try out for short night?
So I think they are going to be better defensively. Are they better defensively with Bregman at third? Right. But they're better with Bregman at third. I agree with that. But I think you're a better baseball team for the here and now as you're built, probably having Devers stay at third for a little while.
So what do you want? What would you like to see work out, fellas? Do you want to see dream scenario to me, Sox fan trying to raise kids that are half as passionate about the Red Sox as I've been in such a lunatic way my whole life. Do you want to see Bregman at third, a healthy story at short, and Campbell at second? Or do you want to see Grissom start the season and give Campbell a little more time on the farm?
Oh, I don't care. Whichever one wins it. I think they're both. So Grissom had a lost season last year. They were really high on him. It's why they made the trade. They thought they got a good return for Chris Sale. Now, obviously, they didn't. He goes out and has a Cy Young caliber year.
Of course he does.
Grissom gets hurt.
Playoffs, so.
Yeah, but I don't really care. I mean, probably Campbell, because all we've heard about Campbell is he could be the next big thing. Right. Barry Bonds, this whole blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And if he's that good, yeah, I'd like to see him win the job, take the bull by the horns, get out there, you know, pull a Dustin Pedroia, win a batting title, like do all these crazy things right out the gates. That would probably be my preference, but I also think the story at short, well, Fitzy, you've said it like five times. You know, story will be good at short until Marathon Monday or until May 1st or
Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
Fingers are crossed.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to move some things around. You're going to have to figure some things. Okay, now I got to figure out who's playing short or moving some things around. So there will be moving pieces. Yes, Dan Ball.
You know who I think is going to play short if Trevor Story ends up going down inevitably?
Marcelo Mayer.
Alex Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
That's what we said right at the top of the show. I'm glad you agree, Dan.
We just don't want to play Marcelo Mayer. He was the second coming of freaking Honus Wagner.
Too many injuries. Let him sit down there and cook.
Is he ready to go?
He needs like one full minor league year without any injuries to just get used to the rigors of 162
Completely
games.
Agree.
We'll see. He's not quite there yet. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone calls. Steve in Springfield might have some concerns in the face of all this optimism about the Red Sox. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Overall, I'm optimistic. Confident they'll make the playoffs, but one area of concern that I do have is the back end of the bullpen. I'm a little worried that Liam Hendricks and Aroldis Chapman are not going to be the pitchers that they were in their prime, and that's going to... They're only like a shell of themselves. Well, that's an area of concern for the team. That's all I wanted to say. I just want to hear your guys' thoughts on that.
All right. Thanks for the call, Steve. It is my biggest concern about the 2025 Boston Red Sox is the bullpen, the closer role. Actually, more the closer role than the bullpen. I think they have the chance for Alex Cora to piece together a pretty good bullpen here, even without Kenley Jansen and Chris Martin being gone. But I am a big believer that good teams, great teams, contending teams have closers. They don't have committees and roles and figure it out and this kind of thing. And
I tend to agree.
I don't know if Liam Hendricks is ready to be a closer again full-time for a full season. We'll see. I don't think Aroldis Chapman is a closer full-time, full season. I know they're talking up Slayton. There's different opportunities. I had the little gullible Andy dream of Mason Miller, the A's closer who throws like 105, but they kept him. They want him pitching in that minor league ballpark they're going to be in for the next 3 years out in Oakland. So which is fine. Maybe they'll change their tune at the All-Star break or something, and you can make that move. Because that's the other thing. Is the way this team is built, not only are they built to compete for a playoff spot, they're built to be added to at the trade deadline.
There
Absolutely. We should not be having conversations about, are they buyers or sellers? It should be, they've put themselves in a position, but they lack X. And whatever X is, if that's the closer, if that's the setup guy, if that's, you know, depth in the starting rotation, if it's a utility infielder, whatever it may be at that time, they absolutely should be buyers at the trade deadline. And I do think bullpen slash closer could be a role they'll be looking for.
Could be, but at the same time, Hendricks was looking good, or at least reports were good at the end of last season. That was 5 months ago. Now he's had another whole offseason to recover from the surgery, a full, healthy spring training. So you'd like to think that maybe all the time for the TJ surgery, as well as the rehab, to build his strength back up would put him in a prime position to, like, it's his job to lose. He should be physically in a prime position to grab this and run with it.
I absolutely think it's his job to lose. Alex Cora made a point the other day down in Florida of, we have not told anybody anything in terms of you're the closer, you're the setup guy, you're next in
Probably
line.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, especially when you don't have a Hall of Fame closer like Kenley Jansen or the guys they've had often over the years, right? You have some guys that are dealing with different circumstances in their pitching careers, so I think that's probably smart. My guess is if you got truth serum, Alex Cora, he hopes that Fitzy's right. He hopes that, you know, six outings into spring training, it's quite obvious who the closer is. It's Hendricks, mm-hmm. and we all move along, and Chapman knows his role, and everybody falls in line behind him. But I think you got to let that play itself out in February.
I think so, too. And I would think if they get off to a hot start, they're looking good, and one of the key problems is closer. There will be enough pressure on the team, and you've invested in an Alex Bregman and some other guys this offseason, that you are going to do what it takes to get one at the trade deadline. And I just want to put a piggyback off the point y'all were making, and Fitzy was really kind of hammering this, and I agree. There's hope for the first time in years. At least five years. I mean, going back to, I don't know, I can't quite remember going into the spring training of 2019, coming off a World Series win, exactly what the feeling was, but definitely that had all subsided in 2020. This team.
It's been a long time.
So since 2020 till now, it was very hard to get excited for this team. Now it's hard not to get excited with this team. They might not. They still might be another right-handed bat away, maybe a closer away, but they're a hell of a lot closer than maybe a lot of us thought they'd be last November.
And the first step, Fitzy, they should be entertaining.
Acceptance?
No. Yeah. Yes. Well, yes. Okay. I'm accepting that they should be entertaining.
They should be.
There you go, Andy.
Right?
Yeah. There's, welcome.
And I think the negative Nelly weed smoking texter from earlier. If Jaron Duran has a step back, well, okay, maybe he has a little step back. Well, what if Bregman has a step forward? And what if Bregman is as good as we think he can be? And by the way, Tristan Casas was a nothing burger last year. What if Tristan Casas has the kind of year everybody hoped he was going to have last year? So you can do the negative law of averages or regress to the mean or whatever the dorky people say. You can do the negative part of that. What about the positive part of that? What about, I don't know, what if Devers doesn't hurt both his shoulders and hits 39 to 40 bombs, right? What if that happens and he's not battling shoulder injuries all season long and looking like a shell of himself half the year?
That would be massive. And to the text line, of course, you can call us at the same number you can text us, which is 617-779-7937. 413 texter must be smoking the reverse of whatever led to that negative Nelly texter earlier. 413, trade Casas and Yoshida for Vladdy. Listen, like where your head is at, mm-hmm. gonna probably have to add a lot to get that deal done. But more importantly, Ted, 603 texter, it's gonna put Sox fans in the seats this year instead of tourists.
Yep.
Changes the atmosphere of Fenway. Couldn't agree more. When we are doing some of our broadcasts from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio this year, and we see all the fans outside, instead of a nonstop parade of Dodgers fans and Mets fans, or even freaking Marlins fans, lol, who am I kidding, or Astros fans, or Dodgers fans, or somebody else, now guess what you're going to see? More Sox jerseys than opponents' jerseys out on Lansdowne Street, on Jersey Street, all around the Fenway. Thank the freaking maker.
My buddy Andy Dufresne said, hope is a good thing, maybe the best of things.
And then he crawled 300 yards.
500.
500 yards through the foulest smelling.
Sure did.
And that's kind of what we've done for about 5 years. And now we're out the other side.
Same exact thing.
Now we're sanding a boat on a Mexican beach somewhere, enjoying the sun, waiting for our buddy to show up with some cold beers.
Right. Let's go.
That's Red Sox season
exactly.
If we're Shawshank.
But maybe wait until we start posting cigar victory pictures.
I would love to smoke a cigar in Z-Wa. I am currently smoking an emotional cigar in Z-Wa Tanejo for you, Stiz.
So we'll get into that with Stiz and Ted. We'll get his opinion on John Henry's cigar-smoking photo that was posted by his wife last night on social media. There's excitement in Red Sox Nation. We'll keep taking your call, 617-779-7937. At 3:30, we will switch gears for a little bit, talk a little football with our buddy Tom E. Curran. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball doesn't have a fever, he sounds good, and he's ready to do what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Wilson Farm. Free agent Alex Bregman has a new home after agreeing to a three-year, $120 million deal with the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday night. The $40 million annual salary is more than $10 million per year than other teams were offering. The deal includes two opt-outs and deferred money over the three-year total. Bregman, who will turn 31 on March the 30th, finished last season with a .260 batting average, average, 26 home runs and 75 runs batted in 145 games. That came on the heels of news that the Padres are in agreement with former Red Sox pitcher Nick Pivetta on a backloaded four-year $55 million contract. The Red Sox get a compensation pick in the 2025 draft as part of the deal, which will land at 77 overall. The Celtics won their final game before the All-Star break last night at TD Garden. That final was 116-103. Jason Tatum led all scorers with 32 points. And Bruins captain Brad Marchand scored the second goal in Team Canada's overtime victory over Sweden in the Four Nations face-off tonight. Charlie McAvoy, Jeremy Swayman, and Team USA take on Team Finland. Puck drop is at 8 p.m. Valentine's Day is just around the corner. Wilson Farm in Lexington has beautiful bouquets of red and colored roses, freshly dipped chocolate-covered strawberries, and delicious treats for your sweetie. Don't drop the ball this Valentine's Day. Visit Wilson Farm or wilsonfarm.com. I'm Dan Ball. That's just trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
All right, WEEI Afternoons back here. We're going to squeeze in a caller real quick before we get to our buddy Tom Curran, because Billy in New Hampshire has been hanging on with us for a little while trying to talk a little Bregman. Billy, what are your thoughts on the Bregman signing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call and great show you got here.
Thanks.
I guess I'll just need a little more convincing on as to how he makes a playoff team. Is it just the defense and leadership? Because offensively, he's just replacing Tyler O'Neill, you know, who's younger and will probably have hit more home runs last year than Bregman will this year.
All right, thanks for the call, Billy. Yeah, I mean, there's certainly some moving pieces. I don't know if it's an A for B swap out. As I mentioned earlier, I think
Rafael Devers is going to have more offensive production this year. I think that's going to help pick up some power slack from O'Neal. But yes, I am assuming that Bregman is going to hit 20-plus home runs. He might not hit 31 like Tyler O'Neal did, but he's going to be a better all-around player offensively, I think. And you needed that right-handed bat. So, yeah, I mean, there's ups and downs to this team. I just think the overall addition of Bregman and the overall addition of Crochet makes you a much better baseball team. Joining us on the phone lines now, as he does each and every Thursday, is Tom E. Curran. Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Tom E. Curran, how does it feel to be back from the Super Bowl? Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Good. I love the enthusiasm you exhibit on some of those reads, Andrew.
Oh, thank you. Is that sarcasm or is that legit?
That was legit.
No. Thank you. Sell it.
Well, I'm not worn down and jaded yet. I'm new to this whole hosting seat one, read the ads kind of role, Tommy Curran. Speaking of guys in new roles, and what is Stretch's name? Striker? Is that how you say it? Mike Vrabel's right-hand man?
Yeah. Yep.
I was talking to somebody yesterday that said to me that Stretch is kind of a combination of Ernie Adams and Berge Najarian. And I'm wondering what your knowledge base is on Stretch, what you've seen from him, if anything at all, to start, and how key a figure you think he'll be in terms of setting the culture, both football and non-football.
I haven't encountered him.
Okay.
So I can't speak to that. I thought he was more of a Berge than an Ernie Adams. But they will need an Ernie Adams, since my belief is that the team will be moving on from a fellow who was doing it was Rustin.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if they're moving on from him because he's not a coach. We haven't heard that. So it's worth checking on Evan Rustin. But, yeah, I just thought he was more of a Bears guy, to be honest with you, Andy. I didn't know otherwise.
Me too. And so, okay, but keep an eye out for that as you do some sniffing.
Eyes are peeled.
Okay.
It's a great place to start.
Okay.
Hey, TC, good to talk to you, bud. I'm curious, you know, hey, you watch this game, and I mean, it basically over at halftime, but did you glean anything from this game? I mean, any trends, anything stand out to you that, you know, you look at both of these teams, how they're constructed, the styles of quarterback play? What were some of your bigger takeaways from this last Super Bowl?
I think a lot of it for us locally centered around, you know, what does it mean for the Patriots dynasty vis-a-vis the Chiefs? And what does it mean for Mahomes' pursuit of Brady? And you know, I wrote a long column on Monday just saying that I said it during last week that the pursuit of Brady by Mahomes is very much a Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus pursuit. You forget that Tom Brady in 2007 had still been dismissed going into that season as a system quarterback. He gave him Randy Moss, and they went undefeated in the regular season, and he threw for an NFL record 50 touchdowns. Then in 2010, he's a unanimous MVP coming off a bad year, and they lose a bad game, yeah. 2006, they're, you know, up 21-6 and gag and should have won. I mean, when you look at the number of times that the Patriots could have won Super Bowls, Brady could have won 12. So Mahomes is phenomenal. He is in the top five already. But Brady never got blown out in a Super Bowl. He really didn't even get blown out in a divisional game. Like, say, for instance, take a Joe Montana. He lost the game 49-3 in the divisional playoffs. In the following year, 1987, he got benched in the third quarter in favor of Steve Young in a game against the Vikings. Elway, he got his ass handed to him repeatedly in the Super Bowls he was in. So the point that I took away immediately in looking at the game was you got one guy so far above everybody at the top of Everest, and everybody else was at halfway base camp. As for the teams in the game and what you can glean from it, it does go back to talking about draft. Because if you look at both of these teams, especially Philadelphia, their last five drafts have been so good, and you start to profit from your drafts 3, 4, and 5 years down the road. And the Patriots still might be a little bit with their pockets turned out from their drafts over the last 3 or 4 years. It's going to take a while.
So, Tom, I'm in an especially good mood today because I'm excited about all things Patriots, Celtics, and especially Red Sox right now. And piggybacking off of that optimism, I wanted to see if you sort of agreed with this sentiment that our pal Mike Reese put out earlier today. He wrote, thinking out loud, R.E., how Red Sox Alex Bregman relates to Patriots and free agency. Sometimes you have to pay more, especially when there is a notable talent and championship pedigree gap compared to top competitors, can still be strategic in doing so on the short term. Hashtag let it rip. I couldn't agree more, and I know you have basically coined the suck tax phrase. So do you feel like the Patriots could follow the Red Sox model of making a good deal like the Garrett Crochet trade, overpaying for someone you need, and kind of turning things around in an offseason?
Yeah, that's what we've been talking about the last couple of days. And when we did our show email today, I said, you know, you have to look at, you know, who can the Patriots do a Bregman deal with? I look at guys like Devontae Adams. Maybe he would be amenable to coming back and working with McDaniels. He's 33 years old. But to me, if you really look at Devontae Adams and consider him as a prospect, and if you don't get T. Higgins, or if you do get T. Higgins, and you say, you know what, we're gonna go to 35 for T. Higgins, even though Justin Jefferson's a 34, we're going to 35. Hell, you know what, we'll go to 37. We don't care, because we're going to convince this guy to come here. I don't think that there's really anything wrong with that, to chase your white whale. Because right now, you have gained a level of, after a second 4-13 season, you've generated more optimism because of the guy that you took at number three and his upside. And you've generated more optimism because there's an experienced head coach, as opposed to folks holding their breath about how they hope will turn out. So strike while the iron's hot. You have $136 million allocated right now against the cap. The cap's going to be $250. Splurge. One guy, one time, do it. And I think that they will. I think that they should. And I got way more to say, but I'm going to go because I've been going for 45 seconds or a minute and a half here.
NBC Sports Tom Curran joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Those are the guys that could be coming in, but I'm assuming right now part of the process that's going on is Mike Vrabel's learning everybody on the roster, and Ryan Cowden's being brought up to speed, and they're figuring out who they might want to keep. Are there any guys you think, Tom Curran, that we think of as foundational pieces they'll be building around that might actually not be here? Maybe even some of the guys they re-signed last offseason. Do you think we'll get any wow departures at any point this offseason?
The chance exists. I think that there might be. You have to scrutinize those signings you made, because if we're going to talk about, you know, cornerstone-type players, who are the Patriots' true cornerstone, can't-part-with-them-type players? Gonzalez and May.
Yes.
That's it.
That's it.
You could smuggle in Hunter Henry under the wire. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're going to, because of his cost and his leadership and his production all have been really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could say that with Barmore, for mm-hmm. instance. And I hope that he gets healthy, but I don't know if you can say that with him. Mm-hmm. I think Kyle Duggar is a very good player. I don't think his cap hit at $14 million makes it unmanageable. I think it's 14. But that leaves us with Unwenu, Barmore, Stevenson, Godshaw. Mm. I don't think any of those guys would be beyond the reach of the Patriots looking at it and saying, that's too much for you.
But you wouldn't predict it? You wouldn't predict it necessarily?
No, I'm not predicting. No, okay. I'm not predicting.
Just making sure.
Jobs without talking to anybody. Just, I don't. But I mean, I don't. Anything that's not nailed down could go.
Okay, gotcha.
Hey, Tom, it's way too early for this, but you're buckle in, because this is going to be you 24/7 until at the end of April.
Sure.
Draft talk in the number 4th overall pick, and you know you watch that game, that Super Bowl, and you just go, man, that offensive line for KC was really having issues all night. Huge reason that I think Patrick Mahomes got spooked early in that game. And then you look at that other side and you go, man, those elite pass rushers, oh my gosh, wow, those are great. It was interesting, mm-hmm. Scar earlier this week said that he's called himself old school, and that he thinks that that pick, 4th overall, maybe shouldn't be an offensive lineman. He should go maybe, you know, edge rusher or weapon on offense. I mean, what – Any idea like what they're thinking there? I mean, is it as simple as Will Campbell's the best offensive left tackle available at that time, and so they get him? Or I mean, is there could you see them doing something like trading back, getting more draft picks?
Sure.
What's your vibe on the draft at this point? Way too early.
Just for Scar, I would say this with great respect to one of the greatest coaches of all time. I'm not sure if he's speaking generally or relative to this particular draft. I'm going to guess he's talking generally saying, hey, if you're at four and you're looking at an offensive lineman, don't you want to take somebody who can score touchdowns or pressure the passer? And yep, you would.
Yeah.
But all drafts aren't created equal. So the fourth overall pick this year might not have gone until 14 or 15 last year because of the quarterbacks. So with that in mind, yeah, you'd like to trade back, but who wants to come up to four to take Jalen Milroe or Shedeur Sanders, right, for instance? So I think it's easier in this draft to find somebody who can pressure the passer than you can say that guy's going to be a Pro Bowl, borderline All-Pro lineman for us.
So
I keep coming back to a weird spot. Tight end.
Ooh, the Penn State kid?
I love it. We're
Penn State, Michigan kid? Penn State, both?
Texas State kid, the Michigan kid. They're both in the top 10. It was Warren and Loveland. So those, look at Brock Bowers, look at George Kittle, look at Kelsey, look at Gronk, look at Laporta, look at Hawkinson, look all over the friggin' NFL. Kyle Pitts should have been a beast by now, but he hasn't been. Ted McMillan's not what you would want to go over the moon for, and you're not even sure that Travis Hunter is a wide receiver or a cornerback. He's a brilliant player, but what are you going to do with him? I mean, you'll find something. But to me, I look at those tight ends, and if you could secure one of them, I don't care if you have to move around, be inventive, that's not my problem. But if you want a touchdown scorer and a helper for not maybe just your offensive line, but certainly Drake May primarily, look at the tight ends.
So, Tom, I was going to ask you, but you kind of just answered my question, which I think can lead to a convenient wrap-up, but just sort of to confirm your feelings. So, Travis Hunter has announced that he's going to compete in the combine, but as a cornerback. So does that, I mean, to me, that would sort of back off my, I don't think the Patriots need to be taking as good a talent as he is, even if I have a BPA, best player available belief. Do you want to be taking a cornerback at four?
In a vacuum, no. No, definitely not. You don't want to be on the hook for in 3 years. Oh, good. We're spending $27 million each per year, $54 million on our two shutdown corners, which is great, but if you don't have a pass rush because they have to run around back there for 8 seconds, that's not helping you.
Right.
So, to me, Travis Hunter can work out wherever he wants to, but it is still, you know, a system that they draft you and tell you where you're going to play. You have to have a conversation with the kid so you don't draft somebody who walks in pissed off and says, I'm not playing that position. But I think corner is his better position than wide receiver, but you can still put a package together offensively for him, and I think you would be crazy if he didn't do that. But does Vrabel envision that possibility? Does Cowden and a little and Elliot Wolf there?
Was that a little Elliot?
Was that a little Elliot Wolf there?
Tom, before I let you go here, this just popped into my head. I don't know if you've ever believed in the idea that the other teams in Boston motivate each other. Cool. And is there any chance that not only the issues they've had in recent years, but the Celtics are rolling, they have the best roster in basketball, even the Red Sox just spent, and you got John Henry smoking a cigar to celebrate Alex Bregman. Could that influence the Patriots to do what you said earlier, overspend, put in a little extra money for a guy like T. Higgins or whoever it may be? Could there be a little push there?
I don't think that would be any kind of, but if they're winning championships because of it and they're thumbing their nose at you, but they're microscopically less appetizing for consumers than the Patriots are. I mean, at least you can name some Patriots off the top of your head at this point. So to me, no, I don't think that would be, when they're really good, I think it's definitely a factor. But they got enough problems. Keep your head on your book, Patriots. Don't be looking up and seeing what's going on around the room. Head down.
Head down, just like Tom E. Curran joins us each and every Thursday, 3:30. Great job today, Tom. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
See you, bud.
Thanks,
see
Tom. Ya. Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Up next, we'll react to a couple different things that Tom E. Curran said that I thought were very interesting. And then we have a little programming update. Top of the hour, 4 o'clock. We will have Lou Merlone joining us to talk Alex Bregman. He is the best Boston baseball analyst out there. And he's going to be on WEEI Afternoons at 4 o'clock.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I keep coming back to a weird spot. Tight end.
Ooh, the Penn State kid?
I love it. Where
Penn
you
State
Michigan
kid?
Penn State, both?
Texas.
Penn State kid, the Michigan kid, they're both in the top 10. It was Warren and Budland. So those, look at Brock Bowers, look at George Kittle, look at Kelsey, look at Gronk, look at Laporta, look at Hawkinson, look all over the friggin' NFL. Kyle Pitts should have been a beast by now, but he hasn't been.
That was NBC Sports Boston's Tom E. Curran just a few moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. He was asked a question about the draft by Ted Johnson, and he veered off into a tight end direction, not necessarily a position I think a lot of people have targeted as a potential Patriots early pick, even though it would fulfill Dante Scarnecchia's requirement of a guy who could potentially score touchdowns as a tight end. And tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. We've heard that before. You got the young quarterback. Can you take a tight end at 4 overall, like Kyle Pitts style?
Oh, no.
You can trade back. You can trade back to 7 or 8. And
TJ Hawkinson style.
I love Tyler Warren. I just, that kid is...
He's a stud.
A stud.
A top 10 stud?
Yes. Yes.
Top 5 stud.
He's to me, he's borderline top 5.
Okay.
He's his size, his speed, his athleticism. Hell, he played running back.
Oh, yeah.
For Penn State. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, he can do it all. You could run Wildcat. You could do, who is it? That's what Baltimore does. Their tush-push play is Mark Andrews takes the snap
he
goes
just takes
forward.
The snap and
so, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that you could do a lot of different things with.
If I could trade back and get Tyler Warren and get, an extra, second or late first, I would do it.
Well, right here, I'm checking out the PFF rankings heading into the 2025 draft. And just to tip you off here, Ted, PFF is Andy's favorite website. Checks it morning, noon, and night when he wakes up before bed.
He loves Ian Rappaport.
He's a huge PFF fan. So Tyler Warren is PFF's 13th ranked overall prospect. So, like you said, Ted, that you can validate trading back to 10 if someone wants to jump up and grab that second quarterback, maybe get him and pick up some draft capital. Colston Loveland for Michigan is an end of first round ranking / talent. So if you wanted to maybe make the kind of move they were thinking about last year, either moving up for Coleman or Leggett at the end of the first round with your top of 2 pick, that's on the table. I love the kid from Texas, Helm. He is a mid-second round pick, they say. He certainly looked good in the college football playoffs, was one of their more consistent receivers as well. Good balance, big after the catch. He needs some blocking work, but he showed up when it mattered most.
Yeah, I like the tight end idea. I don't know how well it would be received. I think people are focused on left tackle, wide receiver, pass rusher. It would, I guess, maybe.
Punter.
Not punter. Nope, not punter. And maybe if we start talking about it now, it's only February, we can help sort of grease the skids for acceptance of a pick of the tight end position.
That's how it works. If we say it on 6 rings, everyone else adopts it within weeks.
That's true.
But
that's
what's
true.
What it's starting to feel like a little bit is that if Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter are gone at 4, it feels like everybody else that's available at 4 is going to be a reach. There isn't worthy of that 4th overall pick.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like is happening right here. And so it's going to be a reach at 4. That's why, ideally, like Tom said, in a perfect world, you thread the needle, you trade back a few spots, you get a little extra draft capital, and then you get a guy more worthy of the pick.
And real quick here, Ted, you wanted to respond. You disagreed with Tom. You do think that the cigar-smoking John Henry pick and the Bregman signing and the little injection of fun in Red Sox Nation could resonate in Foxborough.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? That's where I will kindly disagree with Tom and say that Robert Kraft is obsessed with the news cycle, how much news, comparatively speaking to the other major teams in town, how are they getting covered versus them? And he's, right today, it's about the Red Sox. And it's going to be for the next few weeks because of the signing of Alex Bregman and all the hope is around it. And so that, don't kid yourself, Robert Kraft listens. And that, to me, that'll spurn in his side to get him to maybe spend money in free agency. That's how I think he's wired. Yes.
Speaking of Alex Bregman, we will be talking about that big signing and the excitement in Red Sox Nation. I think Lou Maloney was so excited last night that he got up and went to the ballpark in the middle of the night so he could just wake up and be there and ready for Bregman.
I would
spring
understand
training.
It if he did that.
Lou Maloney, the best Boston baseball analyst out there, joins WEEI Afternoons up next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.